Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our text this morning, I'd like to look back a bit to the second lesson that we heard read a few moments ago, in which we heard the Apostle Paul say, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Walls. They're everywhere, and we need them, of course. We need them to hold up buildings and provide protection and confinement. We're thankful for the walls of this sacred structure that make it possible for us to gather here and worship together as the people of God. But there are other kinds of walls, too. They are the intangible and most troublesome ones. Walls that divide us as people. Walls of hatred, prejudice, bigotry, and fear. And we don't have to look very far to find them, because we know very well that very often anyone or everyone who is different from us in some way or holds a different opinion can be depicted as an enemy to be crushed instead of a brother or sister to be embraced. The text before us today, from the hand of the inspired Apostle Paul, has a lot to say about what he calls the dividing wall of hostility, telling us that in Christ there are no more walls. Now, in the first place, and fundamentally, there is no longer a barrier between us and God. Paul has described it in an interesting way to his readers, and remember, he is writing to Gentile Christians. He says, "Remember that you were at that time, that is before coming to Christ, separated from Christ. You didn't know anything about the promises that God had given, having no hope and without God in the world." There is no more pitiful description than that. No hope without God. And that's how it was for them. And that because of that, there was a dividing wall of hostility between them and the Jews, that is, the covenant people of God. But that's not just something out there and a long time ago. It can be about you and me as well, because the reality is that if no one had ever told us of Jesus, and if no one had ever brought us to him in the washing of holy baptism, that is exactly how it would be for us as well. No hope and without God. That's how it is in the world for many, maybe even most people. People who do not know the true God have no sure hope of anything at all. People full of rage, insatiable, self-destructive, up against an impenetrable wall of despair without the slightest clue as to what to do about it. Now, when Jesus looks upon that, of course, we see in the gospel reading for today that he feels for them not disdain or disgust, but compassion. He had compassion upon them, for they are as sheep without a shepherd, it says. But the reality is that sometimes we may feel that way as well, alone, hopeless, groping about in darkness, looking for answers when there seem to be none. And we recognize the fact that there is enough of that old nature in us that is walled off from God and boxed up in chambers of fear and suspicion that we too sometimes feel cut off. But now, Paul says, he's changing the direction. God has not left us there. God has not permitted the wall of sin and death to keep us from him. He has done something about that. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near, he says, by the blood of Christ. It is in Christ Jesus, not in us. And he uses the passive tense. You who were once far off have been brought near. God did that. He doesn't say, you decided to change all of that. God has done it. He did it to you and for you in the blood of Christ. For that was the one and only atoning sacrifice for all of our lostness, all of our hostility, all of our self-imposed walls of separation from God. And it doesn't depend on how we feel about it. It depends upon what God has done about it. Because now in Christ, every hostile act, word, or thought against God or against one another has been forgiven. God holds nothing against you. He is always near, not far away, remote, standing at a distance. He is right alongside of you, saying, I forgive you, you are new, you are mine, no more walls between us. The blood of Christ broke down the barrier between you and God. It was smashed forever when he came out of the walls of his tomb alive. And so now you are at peace with God. No more walls. He himself, no other, is our peace. You are at peace with God. There is no wall. There is only a bridge connecting you to God forever, and that bridge is Jesus. Now that makes a very great difference in what happens to us and through us. Because it means further, there will be no more walls between us, between you and me, between us and others in Christ. The case in point, as we said before, is Jew and Gentile. Now, it would be a little difficult for us to imagine people who were more opposite than that in the world of that time. As far as the Jews were concerned, they considered themselves to be unique people, and they were, because they were descendants from the people of Israel to whom God had made his covenant. But in their zeal to protect themselves from the contamination of the world, they used their law, codes, and traditions to build walls of separation and fear higher and higher. Symbolic of that was the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, above the doorway a sign saying any Gentile who entered would be put to death. It's a little bit as if, maybe not exactly, but as if we decided that we were going to put a sign over the door of this church that said, no one may enter who is not of Northern European descendancy. We probably wouldn't do that. But it is something very similar to that. And then the Gentiles, as far as they were concerned, they didn't know very much about the Jews, but what they did know made them feel that they were fanatics who lived in a far-off corner of the world, stubborn, cantankerous, argumentative, troublesome, irrational people. And they really didn't want to have much to do with them. But Paul says, in Christ, the unthinkable has happened. You who were once far off have peace with God. And those who were near, that is the Jews, also have peace with God, and both in the same way, through the blood of Christ, through his cross. And separatistic regulations and ordinances are abolished because in him they are all fulfilled. We are at peace together. Christ Jesus has made us one. There are no longer foreigners and aliens. They are in him only fellow citizens, God's people, the household of God. The two have become one person in Christ. And so he says, you are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. The temple in Jerusalem, that is now meaningless, because you together, Jew and Gentile, everyone in Christ, you are the temple of the living God. The foundation is the apostles and prophets who bring the word of God to us. And the cornerstone, that which holds it all together, is Christ Jesus himself and no other. So let me ask you this. Are there any walls that need to be broken down in your life? Walls of separation, hostility, fear? Are there walls of fear of people? You don't have to fear rejection, or you don't need the approval of everyone either, because you already have it from God. What about walls of hostility and hurt? Can you say, I'm sorry? I was wrong. Forgive me. Or, I forgive you. Let's build a bridge of reconciliation. Paul has stated here in this reading the greatest teaching of the Christian faith, the foundation of everything we believe, that we are put right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ and in no other way. But you cannot separate doctrine, that is teaching, from life. And so he says, in essence, this: here is how it works out in your lives. It makes us one. It makes us family. It makes us God's own household. We are joined together. We are being built together. We are not competing with one another for the Father's favor as if we were pouting sibling rivals, because we all have it in Christ. And the walls come tumbling down in God's grace. We have time for each other. We care about one another. So the Holy Spirit wants to work among us and through us to break down walls. He is at work building something new, a glorious and everlasting house of God, namely you and me. In Him, the whole building, he says, is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. That is who you are, and that is what you do. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.